In the name of Jesus. Jesus had just spoken judgment upon those who rejected their king. Today's Gospel, Advent 1, tells of King Jesus and his royal entry into the royal city, as told by Luke. For palm branches, you don't need a king. Luke doesn't mention them. You have to wait for Palm Sunday and for John to tell you, and so on to the martyrs and our own St. Timothy, and on to the New Jerusalem. Spreading garments is acknowledgement of a king. Remember the scene, Jehu, and then with Solomon, who was acclaimed king by riding the royal donkey. Son of David, Solomon, city of David, Jerusalem, city of peace. No, not this Jerusalem. The good news was of a great joy which shall come to all people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Palm Sunday, we are Jerusalem-centred. It all hangs on what happens there. All of Luke is toward Jerusalem, but then the action moves on beyond Jerusalem. Advent fits us to more than one coming. His coming into our flesh, his coming into Jerusalem to his coronation and enthronement, his coming again with the now not yet peace and glory of heaven. His coming into our hearts, a la Bernard of Clairvaux, Luke doesn't bother about. That simply happens as he delivers this King Jesus to those who then rejoice in him as their king. Luke has all the royal comings. But Advent 1, we rejoice in the more that Luke tells us of our coming king. He it is who evokes the message of the angels and the birth of Jesus, not in Bethlehem. Now, here he is, the one born in a stable, coming to Jerusalem, riding a royal donkey. A quite different sort of king would be on a horse, as indicated by Zechariah, quoted only by Matthew. He would. Isaiah 62 says, a salvation is coming, and such a one is welcomed with the words of the Hallel, Psalm 118, quoted by all the evangelists, with Luke identifying the he as the king. With all these royal strands woven in, Advent just isn't long enough to rejoice in them all. When it comes to polyphony, Luke is right up there with JSB. This morning, then, let's just hear it from the Christus, the thematic, the Lord has need of it, a donkey. The one who says this is the one who thus regards any donkey as belonging to him, there for his use, as is witnessed by the protest of those who imagined, silly people, that it belonged to them. What the Lord takes into his service may not also be into anybody else's service, which is the point of on which no one has ever yet sat. I remember as a lad in Australia, back in the days when farmers had horses and hacks to ride, how awesome was the Jesus who could sit such an animal who had not yet been broken in and not get bucked off. Now, there's a Jesus you could sell to a cowboy. But allegorizing horses produces as much nonsense as allegorizing sheep. The point of comparison, as those of you who have read your Bibles may recall, is as clearly as the case with the red heifer. Numbers 19, and then Deuteronomy 21, and 1 Samuel 6, 7, upon which there has never come a yoke. What works for the Lord may not be given over to anyone else's use. His first. As with the animals put to our Lord's use in the Old Testament, so also with this donkey. Something of this too in first fruits and firstborn son. This unridden donkey bears witness into whose service he is being put. That is the Lord, Kyrios Jesus. And that is something more than all the king talk can convey, or this Jerusalem hold back within itself. It is Luke who tells of our Lord's weeping over Jerusalem, missing what brings peace. His being king, his being Lord, does not stop or end here. It moves on, beginning from Jerusalem, even to us. And so reaches us here, Advent 1, in the year of our Lord, 1994, at Concordia Seminary, at Holy Communion. Seminary, then, as donkey stable and training track. We've all heard how if he could use a donkey, then perhaps even me. Commendable humility. But don't stop there looking at your humility. There's more to being his donkey than that. Gloriously much more. You are his donkey as you are no one else's. Now there's freedom. Let no one take it from you or lay on you some other yoke. There'll always be those who try to yoke you to their program, their agenda. No other job, no other work, as with the red heifer and our Lord's donkey. Call him Christopher. The yoke he puts on you at ordination. You belong then to no other Lord, no other work than what he puts you to do, than what he does by his use of you. You instrument, you donkey, his for his use, for his doing, and so holy ministry. If you are not yet ordained, there's still time to get out. If you want to be your own man, calling the shots, running the show as if it belonged to you, silly you, the sooner you leave, the better. The Lord does not ordain half or third of you. You cannot be half ordained. No good half a donkey, front end or rear end. When the Lord tells us, deals with us in the way of the gospel, he does not do fractions. No more than he forgives a fraction of our sins. So, no other yoke or half yoke. A yoke can be bondage, but not our Lord's. He knows his donkeys and exactly where they are, as Mark tells us with vivid locatedness. He has promised to be with them whom he sends. He is not a burden who crushes them, quite the reverse. Who's carrying whom? Dr. Luther has faithful donkey Peter say, if we drown, he does too. Royal donkeys. If that got through to us, we would, as Luther was wont to say, die of joy. And so we shall into the new Jerusalem, the city of peace. There, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Advents are comings, are beginnings. Advent 1, winter quarter, today, the donkey rider, the King, the Lord. And now the Lord is with you, to give into your mouths his body and his blood, to gathering you with him, and enlivening and gladdening you toward his service. Which at the moment is mostly learning his words, which carry him. For him to have use of you in delivering them. Happy donkeys, royal donkeys, rejoicing in such a king, such a lord. Salvation is nearer to us now. Maranatha. Amen.